Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Hopefully everybody is doing well, doing fine. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Sorry about yesterday. Had an emergency, had to tend to. But we are back today, without a doubt. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Finally, Eric Reed is back in the NFL. We're playing for the Carolina Panthers, and as a plus, next week we will have reporter extraordinaire. She covers the Panthers. TV personality, radio personality, superstar in her own right, the one and only Kara Luck will be joining us, and we'll talk all things Panthers with her next week, next Wednesday to be exact. CC Sabathia said $500,000. Who the hell needs $500,000? I'll explain. Game tonight, football night, is Thursday. We'll get into that too is a little bit later. Nobody likes Kevin Durant. They hate on Kevin Durant. So says Kevin Durant. We'll talk about that too as well. All that and more on the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get on down there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. They also now serve beer and wine, so you can also have a couple of adult beverages while you're enjoying your game. They have all sports on. They definitely do have the NFL ticket, so or league pass. You can watch and enjoy. You can also become a club member, get a lock on the back from Toy Humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, tell them PLR said you get 10% off. If you serve beer and wine, get on down there and check them out. All calls may be the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. You heard the topics. If you want to chime in about that, feel free. Please do. Or you can bring up something that you want to talk about. With all that being said, we do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
All right. Well, first up, it doesn't seem to end with Jimmy Butler and the Wolves. Now they're, they wanted to delay his decision for the trade. Is this ever going to end? Oh, boy.
It is, and he's going to be traded, and from everything that I'm hearing, and I've been calling, like, everybody that I know, he's going to get dealt. Looks like Miami's jumped in as a strong contender as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. Minnesota has to get a third team involved, and that's
yes.
Basically what it boils down to. There's so many rumors flying around about the Suns, and them being a part of that. A lot of it has to do with a trade rumor that I heard. I'm not sure all the details, but Butler going down to Miami, Goran Dragic going up to Minnesota, and then possibly Goran Dragic coming back to Phoenix, or I can't think of the gentleman's name played for. And I don't know why I can't, because I can see his face as clear as day. His brother used to play for the Bulls. Teague coming down to Phoenix, or if Teague gets sent down to Miami, then the other point guard, Minnesota, had come. It's all jumbled about. But listen, that trade, Lou, is going to happen. When the owner basically tells the coach / GM / basketball operations president, he will be traded. He will be traded. And it's not a matter of if he gets traded, it's when will he be traded.
He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't like his teammates. His teammates don't like him. People say there's no leverage. He has all the leverage in the world because if you don't move him, you get nothing from him. Glenn Taylor wants him out. And this is the problem that we have, Lou, is in basketball, you got to have checks and balances because you have a coach that's also the vice president of operations. Vice president of operations think long-term. Coaches think short-term. So Tibbs' mind is thinking, I'm not going to trade one of my best players because I'm trying to win now. I got to keep my job. Whereas if he was the president of operations, the thought process would be completely different. So, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of time before Butler's gone. It's just let's see where and let's see how much they can get for him.
And he's still preferring the Clippers of all his only other choices.
From what I'm understanding, the Clippers, Nets, Knicks, or Miami. And if you look at the cap, they
Miami
can all
now.
Do deals. Yeah, Miami, that's the one that emerged yesterday. And that's why I brought up the Goran Dragic possible move. So we'll see how it all shakes down. But like I said, it's not if, it's when. Because it's going to move.
All right. Well, now as the baseball season entered its final weekend, there's a lot of talk about who would be, a candidate for like MVP and the Cy Young Award. Is DeGrom worthy of the Cy Young Award?
Is who worthy?
Jacob
I'm
DeGrom.
Sorry?
Jacob DeGrom.
Yes.
Even despite the fact that
the
Mets have had a miserable season.
That makes my point even more. On the line with us as well is the one and only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. You just made my point even more. Here's a guy who could give up one run. His ERA is 1.7. He gave up a run,
right,
and his team still loses. This guy has the third lowest ERA since the mound size was changed back in 1969. Because he plays for a team that sucks, that shouldn't be held against him. Here's where I say I would not have voted for him. If he ended up 7-9, 7-10, 7-11, 7-6, no. But if he has more wins than losses, and it's with that team that's just god awful, and think about it, this guy, no matter what happened with the Mets, no matter how much the Mets didn't score for him, no matter what went wrong with the Mets, he still did his job. 1.7 ERA. The top three lowest ERAs since the size of the mound changed in 1969. There's not another pitcher that did what he did. It's his award.
And yet the Mets still have a losing season. Go figure that out.
Big deal. Didn't A-Rod win MVP in Texas when they were god-awful terrible?
Yeah.
So didn't Andre the Hawk Dawson win MVP back when the Cubs were god-awful, terrible? You want to pick a guy on a team that wins. It makes it look better. It makes the story better. But sometimes it's an MVP award. The most valuable, or in this case, the Cy Young, goes to the best pitcher in baseball. Do you want to say, hey, we'll give it to this guy over here that was 16-8 because he won 16 games and his team is good? No, he wasn't the best pitcher in baseball. DeGrom was the best pitcher in baseball. And it's his award. A second opinion on this. Tony, do you think it's his award?
If it's not his, I think it's Max Scherzer, who got his 300 strikeouts against the Marlins. Between those two, I think Scherzer probably has like a more well-rounded resume than DeGrom, but the 1.7 ERA and 269 strikeouts really stand out.
Did we tie the Marlins in somehow with that? Did I hear that?
Well, that's the team that Scherzer faced to get the 300 strikeouts.
Yeah, look, I think 300 strikeouts are good. I think strikeout pitchers are great. I really do. I think if you're a power pitcher, it's fun, it's entertaining, it's fun for the fans to hang the case. But I watched Greg Maddux pitch for a long time, be a contact pitcher, and get the occasional strikeout, and was just as dominating as watching Randy Johnson make birds disappear into space. So I think that I'm talking overall effectiveness, and just listening to other guys that do baseball as well, and Tony's a baseball hawk. He covers it nonstop. If I had a vote, my first place vote would be for DeGrom. My second place vote would be for DeGrom. And my third place vote would be for DeGrom.
I agree that DeGrom should be the winner because I think the 1.7 ERA stands out. But if it doesn't go to him, I think Scherzer is a worthy winner as well.
I give you that. Scherzer is one of the – Scherzer, if not 1A, 1B, then best pitchers in baseball. And just remember, as you threw the Marlins in, Diamondbacks had him in their fart and had him, and they let him go.
It's almost like you guys had Drew Brees and just got rid of him lately. The minute he went to Detroit, he became a stud.
I got it.
Right.
See, you keep giving me examples. Lou, this guy keeps giving me examples. Lou, what else you got for me?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I was thinking, because how could a guy with a 1.7, you know, he has a good ERA, but yet, you know, the team is still pathetic. I mean, you'll figure.
Because they couldn't hit the ball.
Wherever
he pitched, they couldn't hit the ball. Yeah, they didn't hit the ball.
It was certainly a waste.
So no matter what.
Yeah,
for him, it really was.
Right. Yeah,
but you know what? When he's an old man and he can look at that mantle and say, wow, I won a Cy Young on a team that sucked. Not too many people can say that.
Go figure.
Felix Hernandez could.
Yeah. Now, do you realize about with the Steelers cornerback Hayden? A 3 a.m. drug test? Oh, boy. Okay.
Wait, what?
Well,
Joe Hayden, when he got back from Pittsburgh after playing against Tampa, he was already NFL drug test at 3 a.m. Probably like right out coming out of the air as he got off the plane.
The evil little trap.
Well, it tells you a couple things. Actually, it tells you a couple things because usually there are no random drug tests unless you tested positive before. Usually.
Right.
And if you tested positive, the first time you test positive, honestly, no one knows that you tested positive. So the second test, if that comes out and that tests positive, then, you know, that's when it kind of makes it. Now, here's what I find amazing and funny. There are HIPAA laws, and I find it funny that when it comes to substance abuse in professional sports, that HIPAA laws don't affect that mental, because it's treated more as a mental illness, that it doesn't affect anything, and they can basically tell that this person was suspended for drug use. And I'm surprised that HIPAA now doesn't cover that to the point where that's something that shouldn't get out. I wouldn't think that. I don't think that's anybody's business. Now, if he's guilty, he's guilty. If he's suspended, he's suspended. He knows the rules. He knows what he shouldn't do. But
do you think
you were
set up?
No, there's no setting up. If you, and this is from having friends that played in the NFL, if you've tested positive before and they pull you for a random drug test, you could be in Italy having a pizza on the walkway. If they call you and tell you you need to test, they will give you a facility to go to. And you have X amount of time to get there and pee in a cup. It doesn't matter. So once you do it the first time, you're theirs. It doesn't matter. So that's just the rule. That's what the players have collectively bargained for. It doesn't say, well, we're only going to test you from 9 to 5 on the second Wednesday of the month. No, they can come. They can show up at your house at 5:15 in the morning and say, we need a sample. And you got to give them the sample. That's just the rule. I don't feel bad about that.
All right, but he did find it suspicious because he was never tested in his years with the Bears.
Wait, Joe Hayden didn't play with the Bears, he played with the Browns.
The Browns.
Yeah, so, see, that's different. And I'm going to tell you why that's different. Because random drug tests, I'll double check. But from what I understand, random drug tests like that, they don't happen unless you've been busted before. But I'll find out. I'll double check myself. I'll make a call later on tonight and see if I get an answer.
All right, I'll buy that. And Ryder, I don't know if you follow golf, but the Ryder Cup begins tomorrow, and they already got Woods being paired up.
Yeah, well, you know what? This golf is hilarious, and golf is funny because
true.
Does anybody really care about who's paired up with anyone else? I mean, let's be real. Because by the Pied Piper winning, and we saw he was the Pied Piper because when he moved, everybody moved. Nobody cared about any other golfer at all. When he went from 16 to 17, 17 to 18, everybody went with him. It was all about Tiger. So that moves the needle, needles move, pockets get fatter, everybody gets happy. We don't care who's playing.
Right.
If you go to the average fan, casual fan, and you say, who's on the Ryder Cup? I guarantee you the first name out of their mouth will be Tiger. Second will probably be Phil. And then when you say, well, who's third and fourth? They'll go, Tiger's there. Tiger's there, right? Tiger's there? Okay, well, that's who we're going to watch. They don't care. The pairing doesn't care. Tiger knew he wouldn't be paired with Phil, and which is smart because you do have a lot of Phil fans. So you'll get, like, some of the traditionalists make sure they're watching Phil, which will keep the needle moving. If you put them together, you're done. You got the casual fans, and you got everyone else. And the four-letter just updated somebody. How dare you play that during our show?
Sorry.
All right.
Want to hear it?
I'll buy that.
It just popped
just
up.
I'll buy that.
Might as well. You know what's funny? It's Dolphin-related. Dolphins, Kenny Still talked with Colin Kaepernick, says the unsigned free agent QB wants to play, deserves to play. Well, there you go.
Well, wants and deserves and are two different things. One thing I said in the opening, and I'll bring it up right now since you said that, Eric Reed has signed with the Carolina Panthers. It only took to week four to get him signed, an all-pro type safety. And you know what's really funny? And I've heard a lot of people say this, and I think we've said it on the show a lot of times. Isn't it funny how it all comes down to control? It has nothing to do with anything else. I can go and beat my wife today. I can go and shoot someone today. I can go and drive drunk today. I could let out a curse-filled tirade today. I could spit on a fan today. I could do all the things in the world that's just despicable and just not nice. I could beat a woman so badly that her body's bruised so badly. I could pay her off not to show up. I could do all those things, eat my suspension, and then play and be welcome back. But if you can't control what I do in terms of a social aspect, then I'm not wanted. Because it all comes down to control. Mm-hmm. When Eric Reed's little brother is asked in his interview before he's drafted, will you kneel for the flag before the anthem like your brother did, that's all about control. Because if he says yes, he's not being drafted. If he says no, then, you know, we'll go ahead and risk it because he said he wouldn't, but we're going to keep an eye on you. So it's all about control. And I'm not talking about the flag. Believe me. I don't care about kneeling or not kneeling. I'm not going to get into that. I'm talking about the fact that what you can control. And so owners think they can control a situation if you beat your wife or cheat on your wife or, you know, cheat on your husband. Look, they want control. Why do you think that there's not one NFL player that has come out publicly and said they're gay? Because the NFL doesn't know how to control that situation. So the only way they can control it is to keep it on wraps. There are – Tony, do the math for me real quick. There's 52 players on every team, roughly, let's just say 50 for math purposes. There's 32 teams. That's roughly what, 1,600 players, roughly, give or take, a few here and there,
maybe.
Not including the practice roster. Okay, if you have that amount of people, by the percentage of people in this country that are gay, that means that same percentage is going to carry over to the NFL, right? Right. So
right.
All of a sudden, no one is in the NFL. Huh? Really?
Yeah. Just want to make one clarification. If you add 8 practice squad players to each team, which is a 52-man roster, you get a total of 1,920 players.
You just helped my numbers.
Yeah,
you blew my point.
Yeah. I'm here to help.
So, but the NFL knows they can't control that. They know they want to keep control of that, and they want to keep control of their locker room, and they want to keep control of their persona. And no matter how open-minded they claim to be and yada, 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 cry bullcrap, because the last thing they want for their gladiator sport is Ted to come out and say, or Mike to come out and say, or whatever to come out and say, Mike loves Steve in a locker room. They don't want that. They're not having that. And people still have to keep living and pretend like the NFL's not having that. And so congratulations to Eric Reed. And next week I will have on Wednesday the one and only Kiara Luck on. She covers the Panthers. By then she will have interviewed him so we can pick her brain. So next Wednesday, this is a shameless plug for the show. Next Wednesday at 1:15, she will be on the Cave Show talking about all things Panthers and talking about Eric Reed.
All right.
Love that call.
That'll be good.
Get some more Cardinal talk with him, right?
Say that one more time.
We'll have Ed Cole. We need some more Cardinal talk out of him, right?
Well, yes and no. I'll explain that to you off air one day. But yes, we'll definitely get some Cardinal talk coming up soon. We have Ed Smith on next week. We have a lot of guests on next week. So we'll get into that a little bit later, though.
Okay. Well, on that note, I will take my leave, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, my friend. Catch up with you there.
Okay.
Always
good to
catch up.
Good for the program. You stop. Tonight, the Rams take on the Vikings. The Vikings are coming off a drubbing last week, losing to the team I thought was the worst team. I heard a couple people break the game down. They basically said the Bills hit them on 3 big plays, and that was it. But, yeah, you can say it all you want. Minnesota never recovered from those 3 big plays. The Rams are hurt at defensive back tonight. I still think they have probably one of the best defenses in the NFL. Offensively, they're incredible. The game is in L.A. Tony, does Minnesota stand a chance?
Normally would say yes because defense normally travels. Because unlike the offense that has to deal with the crowd noise, defense doesn't have to worry about that. And Minnesota's very good on defense, but without their best player due to some mental illness issues against a team that has no weakness on a short week, I would definitely take the points on the Rams if they're favored. I don't know by how much, though. But
yeah.
I think the Rams will probably go 4-0 by the end of this night.
I agree with you 100%. I think the Rams win this game for sure. The game I want to focus on, and I don't want to pick Sunday games today because usually we fly through those Friday before we do our Friday guests. But there is one game that stands out to me. The Cleveland Browns went from being 3.5-point dogs to Oakland in Oakland to 2.5-point dogs in Oakland. And a 2.5 dog on the road means that on a neutral site, you would be favored by that same 0.5. Now they are a 1.5-point dog to Oakland in Oakland, which basically means on a neutral field, they would be favored by 1.5. Tony, can Cleveland go into Oakland and beat Oakland?
Yes. I feel like they can. I'm less sure that they will because at some point when you're up against a 0-3 team at home with a pretty good offense, something has to give. Because I watched the Oakland Raiders offense on Sunday in Miami from the sidelines with my camera, and I agree with Marshawn Lynch said that they're basically like a click or a play away from being one of the best offenses in the league because they're pretty good on the ground with Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. When even though Jordan Nelson is getting older, if he gets a catch open field, he can take it all the way to the red zone or the end zone. I've seen that happen twice. And if they get the speed, they could give it to Amari Cooper, who they haven't been doing so lately, and also Darius Heyward-Bey, who's really fast.
Whoa! He plays for Steelers.
Yeah, well,
they give it to him next bad time.
They have like, your own, like, a long buzzer or something? Because that, like, damn, it made me deaf.
Yeah, that was maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah.
That's right. I saw that was funny. I saw another player there with a hyphen in his name. I was thinking, is he back? That's right. All right. So they got, but I got the rest of the personnel I got right. They got Lynch, Martin, Jordy Nelson, and Amari Cooper. They got their guy. They got Jared Cook, who looked impressive this whole season. The only problem is if Derek Carr doesn't get the protection he needs, and he didn't have at the time in Miami, and he gets tackled as he's about to throw a pass, he will get picked off, and they'll probably go 0-4. But if he can do that, if they can protect him against a really good Cleveland Browns defense, then I think they'll get their first win.
Here's my question for you. Switching to baseball, we've only got a couple minutes left. The Rockies,
ears are still ringing.
The Dodgers. Say it once. What'd you say?
My ears are still ringing from that. I know you guys said the sports gave a wrong buzzer.
The Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the Rockies are all fighting to get in. Here's what it basically boils down to. We already know that one of the two teams that are going to get in will be either Dallas or the Dodgers. Do they both get in? Are the Cardinals out? The Cardinals have their closing of the year against the Chicago Cubs. One of those teams, the Cubs are in, Milwaukee's in, Atlanta's in. Who's the other two teams?
I think the Cardinals will be left out because
they didn't win that division.
I'm doing this based off schedule. The Rockies are beating the crap out of the Phillies as we speak, and then they're going to get the Nationals at home to finish out the season. The Cardinals are on the road taking on the Cubs. The Brewers get the Detroit Tigers, which could help them get the division. Yeah, but they're not.
Well, I don't care about
they're
this.
They're close.
I just want to know which three teams, out of those three teams, which two get in.
I know. I mentioned that for one thing because I think the Cardinals don't make it, but I do see a possibility of something that I think will be really amazing next week, which is a Cubs-Dodgers wildcard game.
Really?
It could very well happen. Milwaukee and Colorado have easy advantage, easy matchups at home in this weekend. Two sweep both the Nationals for the Rockies and the Tigers for the Brewers to give them both the chance they need to take the division. If the Dodgers slip up on the road against San Francisco, and if the Cardinals take a game or two away from the Cubs, you will end up with a Cubs and Dodgers wild card. And after two straight years of seeing those two teams in the NLCS, the idea of having them meet up for one game for it all will be amazing.
That's the greatest thing possibility. Tell everyone how they get a hold of you.
You can catch some of my work on thesportscave.com and also catch some of my Dolphins coverage, mostly through photos, on Football Maven.
There you
Football
go.
Maven.
There's the man himself.
.io/Dolphins/news/whatever.
The one, the only Cuban cowboy, Tony Capianco, my man. Thank you.
Thank you.
At the Sports Cave, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page, sportscave.com, all of it's with a K. Get me at PLR on sports. Tomorrow we are back. At PLR Sports on Twitter. Tomorrow we are back. Thanks, Tony, for calling in. Good for the program. Thank you for calling in so much, Lou. I want to carry Lacking online until tomorrow. This is PLR's Show. Peace out, y'all.